between 82 and 85. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 53 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
And good morning. We're back. Welcome into the Monday edition of Inside the Locker Room, 205-342-9904. If you'd like to jump in on the show with us this morning, the X accounts at Locker Room 109, at Barry Sanderson, at Wimp Sanderson 1. Email, very easy, wimpandbarry@yahoo.com. You can send us that. You download the app. You can send us an app message on the app. We also can take us with you anywhere you go. We want to thank Yellowwood. That's pressure-treated pine from Great Southern. You want to build the five-star backyard, then go to yellowwood.com to find the dealer that is closest to you. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. I appreciate what Jimmy Rain said when we had him on the show, that on the field, Dad, where it says Pat Dye Field, that's the highlight. It has the Yellowwood under it, but he didn't want the Yellowwood to take over the Pat Dye. You can clearly see both, but the Pat Dye Field is a little more prominent. And, wow, what a crazy last 2 minutes of that first half. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. And in my opinion, they've got to put a time limit on these reviews. That was ridiculous. And I don't even know if they got it right. It took over 10 minutes for them to review that. 37 minutes to play the last 2 minutes of that football game. We'll talk about all that and more. Good morning, guys. How was your weekend?
Mine's kind of tough, but it's okay. First of all, don't call in with any negative criticisms about Alabama. When Alabama football team goes to Missouri, who good to start with, who number two is ready to play and going to play hard, and they're going to score on the first trip with the basket with the football and score to make it 7-0 with the crowd going crazy and them playing hard thinking they're going to win, it's a big win for Alabama.
Huge.
It's hard to play. They're hard to play. Let me explain something to you people. The guy lying up across from you is as good or better than you are. He wouldn't be there. Understand that, all of you. And for this quarterback to get himself together, regardless of whether you think he's the IR software, he didn't do this, did bull crap. Whether he didn't do this or didn't do that, or should have done this, should have done that. Brother, that's a tough assignment to go in there and to play. After that start of 7-0, after you're going on a home, it's like a basketball game. You're on a home court advantage with a team that's good and ready to play. I don't give a crap if it was a half a point. It was a good win for Alabama, and I ain't no Alabama guy that goes and roots for anybody particularly anymore. I'm gone. So those things are important for you to understand. In the Auburn situation, it's a very, 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 very difficult call. The call was made from the press box. He crossed the line. He fumbled. When you cross the line and fumble, is just crossing the line stop the play? I don't know whether it does or not. I don't have the answer. It's a very difficult call. It's a very hard decision to make. The press box called it. Certainly it would have been a very decent lead for Auburn to do that. And to me know I've been somewhere with Jimmy Rain recently, and to add this to what the feeling was about the Oklahoma game is, I don't want to hear it. So it's a play that you can't call. You can't call from the field particularly, and I hate to see it called with a telescope from the press box. So whichever side you're on is the side you think it got screwed. The other side, you got screwed. That's the way it goes. Tennessee game, I'm not going to talk about it particularly. We're going to have, a Tennessee guy too on hopefully this week. The Tennessee game, Tennessee did not come to play defensively. They were absolutely, picking the blue plate, I can't pick them. I can't pick them at all. So whatever I say, you go the opposite way. Okay, I can't win. Whether Bobby tricked them with plays or not, no. He did a good job with their offense, but Tennessee laid down like a bunch of dogs. I called our buddy over there. I said, you telling me Tennessee's going to guard somebody? They may come in here and be better, but they were awful. So I'm not going to get into everything. Regardless of what we think about Indiana, Indiana's better than we think. So anyway, the Tennessee and Alabama and Auburn things I wanted to mention so Barry could hear it and people could call in and if you want to disagree. If you want to disagree about the Alabama great game, just disagree it out to Barry, not to be. Go ahead.
Yeah, I thought, Ty Simpson. He can throw the ball in the tightest windows. That fourth down throw he had, oh, my goodness. But, line, please stop getting this boy hit. We can't get him hurt. And right. I'm sure the backups are good. But Ty Simpson's getting hit too much. And he's
sure is.
He does not need to be battered around like he is. So that would be number one. Number two, why did Hugh Freeze – think that Jackson Arnold was going to be any different than what he was at Oklahoma? He is kind of, and they paid a pile to get him. I don't think Hugh Freeze evaluates quarterbacks very well. Alabama's got three quarterbacks better than Auburn's starter. They got, 40 yards in the second half after that play. And when it was ruled a fumble on the field, that's, I think, what got them. There wasn't enough evidence to overturn it. Maybe you say it was. I don't know. But I think that's why it went back against them. But they got to have a better quarterback than that. You spend that much money for Jackson Arnold, and he's just a little bit better than what they had last year. You got to have a good quarterback, in my opinion, in this league to win football games.
Well, first of all, it's where your general manager comes into play. If you're lacking at a skill position, the general manager's got to find you somebody better than him. Now, the one thing he did do was he did a good job of running the football against Baylor. He helped them in the Baylor game, in a game that they needed very badly to do decently. You're going to hear Auburn complain a great deal now about the Oklahoma game, the pass interference calls. Not particularly the one play that they pulled, but the pass interference calls, and I think you're rightly so. And then you're going to add this on top of that. I don't know why they didn't get a better quarterback than they've got, but they were searching quarterback wise and perhaps couldn't find one. I had the money. I don't think my friend Jimmy Rain is going to pour the money to them. Just to be pouring the money to them if they're not going to win. So I know that helps them win, but I won't go through all that conversation on the way there.
All right. So then lastly, in 2022, this guy was 11-2. Last year he was 10-3. I'm sorry, 2 years ago he was 10-3. Last year was 13-3 and made the college football playoffs. This year he's 3-3, and they just fire him? They fire the guy? $49 million, and they fire him? Now, I know the Penn State people were mad. You know, they take Oregon down there, and they lose in overtime in that game. They obviously haven't bounced back from that. Losing at home Northwestern is inexcusable. Losing at UCLA, I don't know. They flew all the way across country. Then you saw what UCLA did over the weekend. But to fire James Franklin? I don't know about that one. They must have really disliked. I mean, this guy's, he's 145 At Penn State, I don't know your thoughts about them firing James Franklin.
I think it's a mistake. I think it had been a close victory against Oregon, everything had been okay. But the loss there, and then you turn around and everybody's yakety 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 about things. I think James Franklin, contrary to what people believe, did an excellent job at Vanderbilt recruiting players. I think he's the first guy to ever recruit players there and did a good job there. So I think you're right. I think it's ridiculous to see that he lets them go with that kind of record. So when you fire, you got to hire. And the problem that you have is you can't talk to a head coach right now. And you get an assistant coach, you're gambling a little bit. So
yeah, I just don't know about exactly that right. One. And I got the breakdown of how much they owe him. And I hadn't checked the facts on it, but it's ridiculous. Then lastly, I like this guy. I like him. But John Cohen, you cannot be on the field chasing the officials off the field at the end of the first half. That was a bad look. I understand Hugh Freeze, but the athletic director down there as well, it just shows you that he's feeling the pressure now. He's the one that hired Hugh Freeze. I thought that was a terrible look. And I love John. I love John. And I would tell him if we were sitting down and say, John, I mean, and I understand the emotion of it. He probably regrets doing it, and there'll be probably something come out from the SEC about it. But I thought that was a bad look for Auburn.
Yeah, I think so. And there'll be probably some kind of fine to Hugh probably because of his remarks. I don't really know. Kirby came back with some remarks as well and about the clapping thing that he carried on with the guy taking the football and running back to the end zone. And him clapping that they had just scored a touchdown rather than Auburn scoring one was a very, very hard call to play. According to whose team you like is where you think you got screwed. There's always going to be a situation right now. And here's the words that you get. I did it when I was coaching too. So-and-so always gets all the breaks. Georgia always gets all the breaks. Did you hear me say when I was coaching, when I went to Kentucky, Kentucky always gets all the breaks. I said that. And I thought they did. But that's what you're going to hear now. And with Ole Miss coming to town, 6.5-point favorite, Georgia gets, Ole Miss gets 6.5 points, I think it'll probably change. It will be the whole thing, Barry, a situation to the conference office about the officiating will be talked about a lot, Auburn and so forth. And officiating is not easy, but you're exactly right. You got people in the booth, and it needs to be done quicker than that.
Yeah, it took forever. All right, and Auburn's got Missouri coming in, and they are lower than Mole. I don't know how to get back up. To be honest with you. 2-minute truck is out at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. It's local, out of town, out of state, no problem. Let the professionals handle it. They'll take great care of you and all your stuff. 205-247-5050. That is 2-minute truck. Movers who care.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa thread.
Good Monday morning on this Columbus Day, our Indigenous Peoples Day. Tuscaloosa City and County schools are closed. The city system for a staff planning day in the county for fall break according to each system's calendars. Today is also a state and federal holiday. Those offices will be closed, but the cities of Tuscaloosa and Northport will be open today. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather coverage all throughout the day. It's absolutely free. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We are moving with a purpose on the Tuscaloosa freeways and side streets. Looking good on 2059 as you move smooth in between University or at University, Buttermilk, McFarland. All of those are traveling quite nicely right now, or all through that area. And also,
thousands of kids who've been waiting over a year and their weight. Sponsor a child with compassion today. Just text the word radio to 83393.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
503-339-7361 or visit us at 1600 Lurleen B. Wallace Boulevard, Northport, Alabama. And Roll Tide.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Dry weather continues through the week. The sky's sunny today, the high 82. Clear tonight with the low at 57. For tomorrow and Wednesday, a good supply of sunshine both days with warm afternoons. Highs between 82 and 85. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 52 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The flagship station for Alabama Crimson Tide football.
Alabama touchdown.
Only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. All right, nobody wants to be fired. Philip, Chase, and Dad. I'm going to get Philip just 1 second. We're going to think Yellowwood, by the way. James Franklin will make over $20,000 per day from Penn State for the next 6 years. $15 per minute, $913 per hour, $21,917 per day, $153,846 per week, and $666,666 per month for the next 6 years. That will soften the blow. All right, get to the Yellowwood hotline, and we'll call Philip in. Good morning, Philip.
That's right. That's like my salary, man.
Golly. Yeah, I'd be like a guy from LSU said, exactly what door do I walk out of once I get
this? That's exactly right.
Yeah. Ed Orgeron. Yeah.
I'll tell you, to expand on, good morning, Wimp. Hope you're doing good. I'll tell you another thing, too, Bear, to expand on what you said in your opening remarks is what I would like to see the SEC do is take a copy of what the Atlantic Coast Conference does when they're reviewing the plays. I wish there was a camera on the replay guys in Birmingham when they're doing that, because I don't know if you've seen any ACC games this year.
I've seen it,
when they review, you know, you can hear them commenting, and the guy will say, do you agree? And then he'll say, okay, so we're all in agreement with what we saw. I mean, they're literally talking just like you and I and Wentworth were talking, just normal plain speaking. I think that would be a good thing, but definitely some sort of a timer mechanism on these replays would help, because I had to leave the Vanderbilt Alabama game with 4 minutes and 11 seconds to go in the game, and I think that game took, and I walked to my car, and I think that game took something like 40 minutes to finish. It's just ridiculous.
That first end of that first half, I mean, there was so many. I told somebody, I said, if you could try to explain to everybody what just happened that last 2 minutes, you couldn't even explain it. All the things are targeting, and they were reviewing everything, and that play in the end zone, good. It was, and of course, a lot of people were mad saying Georgia got screwed. They should have gotten 6 points out of it, Philip. The referee shouldn't have blown the whistle.
Right. Well, one thing so true, though, that always holds true is, You can't put the game in the hands of the officials. So, and I think Hugh Freeze said that. You got to hold on to football. You can't be fumbling down there at that point in the game. And anytime you put it in the hands of the officials, trouble's going to brew.
Yeah, no doubt. They never recovered from it. Dad and I are both emotional guys. I don't know that I could have recovered from that either. You got to pull your team together. They were going into the half, but they never seemed to recover. And you could just see Georgia just get tougher as the second half went on, you know.
That's true. But Georgia was not awarded a touchdown, and I don't know if there was ever an explanation given for that. I don't know what happened on why that kid wanting awarded a touchdown for running the ball into the end zone.
Yeah, I think the whistle was blown.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know. But anyway, I think Ole Miss has a much better understanding of the passing game. I think they're going to put a lot of pressure on Georgia. But if Georgia's getting their defense ironed out, look out, because they're in the SEC championship game. I don't see anybody doing much with them if their defense is as good going forward as it was in the second half against Auburn.
You think?
Well, the ability for Georgia is to make adjustments during the game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the one thing maybe Alabama doesn't do quite as well. But Georgia makes adjustments during the game about as good is because they've studied it and know it, especially defensively. They all bitch about the offensive coordinator, who's not bad, I think, but they do a terrific job, I think, during the game of making adjustments.
Phillip, I need your help on this.
What's that?
When I watch Alabama play now, there's all of a sudden somebody's playing. I'm like, who's that? Like the number 30 kid that got a concussion. And mm-hmm. I think these guys recruited really well. They're playing these freshmen now, and they got these guys that are a little bit better than what they have, and they don't mind playing them. And you look out there, and these guys will take you out, and they'll put some young guys in. These young guys are performing. I think the depth of Alabama's recruiting class, these guys did a really good job, and they've done a really good job of developing players. They got a lot of guys, and it's somebody new every week that's running out there that I don't even know who they are.
Well, funny you mention that, because my game balls the other day went to Dre Washington.
Yeah.
I don't know if everybody knows who he is. It went to Danny Lewis. I don't know if everybody knows who he is. And my other game ball went to Daniel Hill. And I don't know if everybody knows who he is. I mean, true Alabama fans do, but your casuals don't.
Yeah.
And another thing, too, in line of what you said, I think we're going to regret not getting A.K. Deere some more action come this weekend, because I'm not over there, and I don't know what's going through the medical folks' head right now, but I think it's going to be hard for Jam Miller to come back and play Saturday.
Yeah. This guy I was with, he said, what are you going to do about this weekend? Get a concussion. There's no way he's going to play. I said, you got to give him the answers to the test. These are the questions that we're going to ask you. I was obviously joking. But, yeah, Jam Miller, oof, him being out. Yeah. And then that one hit, I guess it was on Ty or something, it was not called targeting. I don't know what targeting is anymore, Phillip.
Nobody knows. And hey, we've had three guys suffer concussions in the last 2 weeks, and only one was a targeting call, and that was against Meadows the other day.
Yeah.
Jam got knocked out. Ryan Williams got concussed, and neither one of those were called targeting. So we've had two guys get knocked cuckoo, but only one was really targeting.
Yeah.
And I was worried about Ty the other day when he took that hit and fell.
Yeah.
I didn't know if he was going to come back.
I was afraid his knee. His knee kind of got twisted up a little bit too. And then he looked over there and the number 12 was warming up. And I was like, oh gosh.
Yeah.
And not that I don't think our backups are good, but Ty, man, he can throw that ball. He can throw that ball right on the money. So he's special.
Yeah, I bet Mozier Brooks, he can get up too. He can leap. He can get up.
Yeah, so.
I bet that guy's an unreal basketball player.
Probably is. All right, appreciate you, Phil.
You
all right, yes. This weekend, Thomas Ribshack will be ready for you. Go to thomasribshack.com. You want to get all the tailgating, barbecue, fish, chicken, whatever you need. The sides, they got beautiful, great fried okra, all the vegetables, whatever you need, they will get it ready for you. Or swing by there for lunch. But give them a call today if you need catering for the weekend, 205-759-5010. Okay, right there on 2931 15th Street, right there in Tuscaloosa. Headed out, if you're going away from town, towards the Stillman area, they're right there on the left. They'll take great care of you. All right, we'll get to break here and get to Max Howell. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Town to Nissan Traffic Center. We are moving with a purpose on the Tuscaloosa freeways and side streets. Looking good on 2059 as you move smooth in between University or at University, Buttermilk, McFarland. All of those are traveling quite nicely right now, or all through that area. And also 60
diesel generators. True South Generators. Online at TrueSouthGenerators.com. That's TrueSouthGenerators.com.
Mr. SEC Tournament Wimp Sanderson gives you his excellent analysis every weekday on Inside the Locker Room, right here on Tide 100.9.
Well, in North Carolina, way back in the hill, lived my old pappy and he had him a still. He brewed white lightning till the sun went down, and then he'd fill him a jug and he'd pass it around.
Yellowwood pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want her. To the Yellowwood hotline, former assistant coach, Florida State, Ole Miss radio personality for years throughout the Southeast, joins us every Monday. The one, the only, Max Howell. Good morning, Max.
Hey, Max.
How y'all doing?
Good. Go ahead, Dad.
Man, that's a comment on the. I already commented on Alabama play. I thought when you come out there with a win, it's great. Auburn thing is a very confusing penalty. You go ahead with your thoughts on both those games.
All right. Well, first of all, we'll start with Alabama. I mean, I think Missouri's better than everybody thought. That's my opinion. Yeah. I'm not real sure they're not right, you know, second or third in the conference right now. I thought they played well. They played controlled, played hard every snap. And I think they got a, you know, I think they're gonna have a great future the rest of this year. I looked at the schedule this morning, and I think they're gonna be a contender for it's all over, unless somebody gets hurt somewhere along the way. The Auburn situation, Coach, I'm gonna tell you, I looked at that thing about as much as they did, and that was a judgment call. You know, they talking about the end of the ball being over before the fumble. Of course, the quick whistle. You know, if they rooted a fumble, why did the whistle blow so quick and Georgia didn't get the touchdown? So, I mean, it was kind of confusing. But Auburn, for some reason, and I heard Coach Freeze after it was over, says they find a way not to win. They didn't say to lose, but they keep finding a way not to win. Well, that many times that's going to go internally. And you got to convince those kids in the dressing room and on the practice field that they can win football games. For some reason, it appears that that's out of the picture during the discussion during the week, regardless of who they're playing. But that's the officiating, I think, is going to be contention because of the quality of play. It's going to come down to a call like that in more games as we go. I mean, we saw it, you know, we saw what the results was when Oklahoma and Auburn played about the rule on the kid next to the sideline. I mean,
so that was a press box call. That was a press box call, no doubt about that.
Right. I don't think, I agree with that. And I think it should have been. I mean, I don't think that the officials on the field. If you notice, any time now, and I think this is the first time I've really charted it, when there's a controversy, they go into the box and go upstairs. I mean, the officials on the field, they aren't going to rely on what they see anymore. And I think we're getting more and more of that. I don't know whether that's good or bad, to tell you the truth. But the fact is, it lengthens the game, but I think the percentage of getting it right is much better than the guys that are on the field and get caught up in the emotion.
Max, I think Hugh Freeze maybe overestimates his ability to develop a quarterback. Peyton Thorne, they stuck with him for 2 years. That kid from Oklahoma, he played pretty good against Alabama, but his body of work was not very good, to be honest with you. I know he's a 5-star coming out of high school, and I think they paid him a lot to come down there. Did he evaluate this guy right? Is he good enough? I know he ran all over Baylor, but then once you kind of get the scouting report on him, these defense coordinators, they're pretty smart. They start taking that stuff away. He's got these dynamic receivers. I don't know. How good is this kid?
Well, I mean, I said, if you remember the Monday after the Baylor game, I think I said if you know, Verinda's supposed to be the great defensive guru. Why'd he put a spy on the quarterback?
Yeah.
All he had to do was put that middle linebacker on him just like everybody else was doing, and you're going to stop the run right there. But, the, you know, for some reason, he didn't do that, and Auburn wins that ball game. But other people are doing that now. And I think as far as Coach Freeze and his evaluation, I think he has to – he tries to look at somebody and look at what he has done and hoping that guy can – even improve on that. I think it's kind of a wishful thought that he can get better quarterbacks than he's had, if that makes sense. And I think that's what he thought in this guy. But those guys are going to replicate on the field on Saturday what they do during the week. And if they aren't, if he's not getting a good picture during the week, I don't see how in the world he could expect him to have a great game on Saturday.
Yeah.
It all comes back to practice time, guys, and all what the coach is doing. The kids are there to learn and to play and to win. But sometimes that gets lost. And then consequently, when it gets lost, coaches lose their job. And we've already had a couple already this week, and we're going to have some more coming up down the road just for that very reason.
Yeah, I guess James Franklin has not won big games. His record's good. He was in the playoff last year. But, you know, the big games and the negativity starts to swirl around the program. Should they have waited just maybe and kind of seen how things go? I mean, they owe him a pile. And then when you have to buy out the assistants as well, and now you got to go buy, you try to get Cignetti or somebody like that, they're going to make you pay. I mean, that's going to be expensive for Penn State. I guess they got it, Max, or they wouldn't do it.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Barry. We can't. You know, we can't impose our thoughts in comparison to other schools like
sure.
that. They internally they gonna do what they think financially they can do. I mean sometimes you'll get some administrators who'll just say, hey, we gotta have somebody for various reasons, friendship, or they've known other people around them that recommended them. But most of the time they gotta be economically responsible, and they know, you know. And if you watch Penn State, what, 2 weeks ago, when they did the whiteout, I mean, it was 108,000 people in that stadium. And, you know, when you start putting those kind of numbers up, as long as he's drawing the crowd, they know they got the money. They're going to put, if they need to pay him off, I think that's, you know, they had somebody step up and help them organize that money, and they obviously made the call this weekend. It'd be interesting to see who they go after, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. How about a guy like Cignetti? Like, he's...
Yeah.
He's kind of mouthy, and he's backing it up now. I mean, if that guy right. got Oregon to win, but he's not for everybody, Max.
Well,
your thoughts on him?
Well, you know, you look around, though, Barry, there's a lot of coaches out there that's like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They don't fit every situation they're in. For one, you know, that personality goes a lot. I don't know that the personality either gets them there or keeps them out of the job, but once they get there and it's really a big-time job, the competition's going to bring that personality out, whether it's a positive teaching respect or whether it gets negative and defensive, all those kind of things. And in my career, I was fortunate enough, I was in most situations where it was kind of congenial. You had very little controversy around it. But the fact is I was – observant enough to watch other programs, particularly when I had to scout other teams and go try to interview the coach or talk to him after the game or whatever, or the opposing coach that we were playing. The fact is those personalities pop up, in particular immediately after a ball game. You go in there and got a night ball game, gets over at 10, 11 o'clock, and you got to catch a flight at 6 the next morning, and you got to get some information for the scouting report after the game immediately. Well, the emotion's still up. And I think that you really can find out about people and their personalities on how they, you know, how they can react, and particularly if they win or lose.
Yeah.
I was big on that.
Yeah.
So, but bottom line is, every coach is not made for every job, and we know that individual personalities just, you know, will keep some people out of a job.
Yeah,
that. The Tennessee game is a very interesting game for Alabama. People don't realize it. But
yep.
There's been stretches where Alabama's won a bunch in a row. There's been stretches where Tennessee's won a bunch in a row. Coach Bryant basically had to leave Kentucky because he couldn't beat Bob Naylor, and he couldn't beat Tennessee. I'm not saying it ugly. That's the truth. But
Tennessee didn't guard anybody at all defensively. They were awful. Now, you won't give Jack credit for being a great play caller. We have a lot of people on our show who think he's the greatest play caller ever. But, you know, the defense for Tennessee was horrible, absolutely horrible. Any thoughts on that game or any thoughts on Tennessee-Alabama game?
Well, yeah, but, Coach, you know this. A lot of people don't recognize the fact is, and they don't want to talk about it, but first time ever I heard Ole Miss say this weekend is along the same point, that they did not play a very good football game because they spent this past week getting ready for Georgia. And I've never heard a head coach say that before. Kiffin said it in his post game. He was apologizing to the fans for not performing well enough against Washington State. And he said that it was due to the fact is they spent more time getting ready for Georgia than did Washington State. And I know that happens. That happens, you know, when you have a weaker opponent in your mind, on paper, it's weaker. Then you got a huge game, a conference game coming up the next week. You got certain segments in your practice every day, particularly with scout teams, that you're gonna look at the. You may not tell the kids that, but you're gonna show them that on the cards what the opposing team's gonna be doing the next week. I run too many scout teams in my career, and I know that happens. And that's the first thing I go back then to say other schools do the same thing. And, you know, maybe Tennessee was looking to Alabama as opposed to, you know, getting ready for this past weekend. That does happen. And, of course, it's not talked about very much, but the end results, some teams will get beat because of it as well.
The other games were really good games this weekend. LSU goes to Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt sitting there with a week to get healthy. The game's at 11 o'clock. Right. Vanderbilt, 2.5-point favorite, Max. Does that surprise you?
Well, I mean, the folks in Baton Rouge are standing on their head right now. But you know what? The fact is, guys, they had not run the football very well at all, hardly. And their passing game has suffered, the long pass particular. So, I mean, is the quarterback hurt or is he not hurt? I mean, Kelly said from time to time that, you know, he's adequate, he's getting by, and maybe they don't have a number two they can play. But the fact is LSU is not, offensively, has not been what they were projected to be at the beginning of the season. And playing Vanderbilt Vanderbilt can actually beat them. I'll tell you, Vanderbilt's not the Vanderbilt of old anymore. And I think the coaches in this league and the team that have to play them already understand that. So I think that's going to be one of the more interesting ball games coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
LSU should beat them on talent. You know, from the first player they recruited down to the last one should be better than the players that Vanderbilt could recruit. But preparation week by week means a heck of a lot once you get them on campus now. And I think that staff at Vanderbilt's done a remarkable job. And I agree. I think Missouri's in the same boat. I think if you watch that game closely this past week, of course, Missouri's got Auburn this week. And they better not dwell too much on the Georgia game. They better get ready for Missouri. Because I'm telling you, they are hard-nosed. They're well-coached. And they come into play on Saturday.
This question for you and Dad. This league, seems like this year more than ever, it's so physical and it's so emotional. Yeah. Like that game down in Auburn, that was such an emotional.
That's true.
I don't know how you get your guys up again every week. I mean, I don't know what you would do first couple of days of practice because you got to just kind of, you're beat up and your emotions. You got to imagine an Auburn player couldn't get to sleep till 5 a.m. because of how. What do you do to make sure these guys are fresh for the next Saturday? It just seems like this league is, I don't know why, more than ever, you're sitting there watching Texas and Oklahoma saying, wait a minute, this is an SEC game. These games are emotional. How do you get up every week?
Well, I think the best coaching staffs start to emerge. That falls on the coaches. It doesn't fall on the kids. It's preparation during this week of a big game the next week after they've just played one. That's all due to the coaches. They better learn how. They better know their team, and they better practice their situation where they cut the hitting back, the contact back, or they, you know, just run them for conditioning. It's a bunch of things. Take them to a movie. They do something psychologically along with physically to get them ready for that next big ball game. That all strictly, you know, boils back on the on the coaching staff when they, you know, get them ready. And I think here's another point too, Barry. As bad as we look at it, wait the next year when they got, you know, when you got nine, the conference games they got to play. And I'm just telling you, it's going to be tough. In particular, I think the league will probably expand probably a couple more teams in the next couple of years. But we're fixing to see by far the best coaches the cream will rise to the top now. When you got that many great games, you got to play week in and week out to get to the top, to make yourself eligible for the playoffs. And that's what the bottom line is. So nobody's got that answer right now for your question. What do you do to get ready? That individual coaching staff has to know their players, and they have to understand about the physical aspect of it and when they get them ready. And then, of course, that's got to build to a crescendo on Saturday. I'm going to be really interested to watch these different coaching staffs and see how. We'll have some more turnovers in the SEC. I think we're going to have a couple more this year. And I think there'll be next year be a couple more added to that just because they don't quite get them ready to play on Saturday.
Yeah, that.
I don't really have anything else there particularly that is important.
I want to know about Lane Kiffin. They were 32 or 33 point favorite. I think they won by three. That happens. No, well, not that bad. But he was pretty frustrated. He said our red zone offense was about showed up about like our students did in the student section. So he took a shot at them. They traveled over to Georgia. That was an emotional game there. How do you see that game, Max? Georgia 6.5 point favorite. 2:30 game. ABC.
Well, Georgia should win it. They got more talent. The schools like we've talked about this before, South Carolina and Ole Miss, was Mississippi State's really down this week. But in fact, I thought Missouri is going to get it, but I think I'm going to move them up into another category after watching them a couple of times already. But I really believe that part of that stuff we saw with Lane Kiffin and apologizing about the way his team played, knowing that he was looking at Georgia. And I think we're going to probably see a different Ole Miss team. I don't know that Georgia would be favored if they played in Oxford this year, not the way both teams are playing right now. But the fact is, they got to go to Athens. I think Georgia should, if Georgia plays like they should be, it could be a close ball game, 2 to 6 points, probably difference in it. But Ole Miss has got to play their best ball game this week. I mean, Georgia's still Georgia. And Kirby's still Kirby. And I think he's one of the best coaches in the country right now. He takes advantage. And we saw this past weekend, he knows how to work the sideline also. So the fact is that'll probably be a highly watched ball game all across the country, even at 2:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah. I think Kirby's team's just – I think Alabama's developing this a little bit. They're just tough. Yeah. They just freaking find a way. The more emotional it gets, the tougher they get. They seem to be able to – that win they pulled out at Tennessee, they had some luck involved, Tennessee missing the field goal. But to go to Auburn with all that going on, with Auburn having a week off, I think the personality of the team is taking on Kirby Smart's toughness. That quarterback, he's not great, but he makes enough plays to win for you, doesn't he, Max?
Very true. There's no doubt about that. And I do. I think that you said it right on what I was waiting for you to finish, Barry. I think they take on Kirby's personality. I really do. But that, guys, that comes during the week. You don't do that on Saturday.
Yeah.
That comes in everything they do, everything from getting them up in the morning to get them to practice to practice is over and seeing that they get to do at least the ones that do academics do a little academics there, but it's the total picture of what the coaching staff represents. And I don't think anybody can deny what Kirby's been able to do on the field. And I think it's a complete package now. And if you look, because his talent changes every some years, a couple of years back, he had the greatest defensive front in the country. I don't think that defensive front is as good as it has been. But you know what? They win him with it. And that's what the whole game's all about. So I don't know how many coaches we could evaluate as to do that. I mean, how much time do we take looking at that? But I've done the same thing in this league about the way Kirby, particularly after when he left Alabama and took the Georgia job. But it's got nothing but better, to tell you the truth, regardless of the talent level he's brought in.
No doubt. All right, question you and Dad again before we let you go. We ask every week, maybe it's, we were saying Oklahoma at one time, who's the best team in the SEC?
I think Alabama is right now. Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I really do. I'll say this about the Texas-Oklahoma game. If Texas had played like that in Florida, they'd have beat them by three touchdowns. They'd have beat Florida by three.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you that something, Sarkis has got a great name and all that, but the more I watch him, the more I get him really paying attention to everything he's got, I'm kind of losing a little confidence in him because of the consistency. They don't play hard every week. They try to play up to the level of competition, but sometimes that's not working out for him. I don't know what it is. It's something about, though, the staff and the presentation and the kind of kids they recruit. I was not a big Urias fan last year. I watched it very closely. NFL, you know, I think they sent that message very clear the way they recruited him, and he's not having a great first year in the NFL either. But he would never, if you never know, he never changed quarterbacks. And certainly it's the same thing that's going to be with Bennett. And Bennett had a little bit better week this past week. Maybe he's getting a little bit more confidence. I don't know. But something in that program, in the communication with the kids, if you watch closely, is missing somewhere because they don't play consistent every week.
All right, Max, what's for supper?
Oh, man, listen, my guys right now are in between seasons. I told you last week they've been on a big squirrel hunt. Well, they get what they're doing right now. They're getting ready now for deer season to start. So we went to the freezer and pulled out a rack of deer ribs, and I chopped those things up and put them on the grill. It had the regular tradition, potato salad, coleslaw, butter bread. And we had this past week we got a coconut cake coming from the freezer, and I'll tell you about that next week.
All right, Max. Should be a great week. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys.
All right, we'll take the break here. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Championship school, and school is in session.
Makes a catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks a tackle, scores, scores, scores.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide head to the zoo to battle the Missouri Tigers. Our coverage begins at 8 a.m. on your home for Alabama football.
Alabama football is presented by
Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram,
Two Dimes,
Taco Casa,
Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa,
Mary's Travel Center,
Catfish Heaven,
Tuscaloosa County Sheriff's Department,
Hudson Pool Fine Jewelers,
and Townsend Honda.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. It's still a light Monday morning for folks traveling up, well, anywhere in Tuscaloosa. Right now we're looking at 43, the usual on the southbound side to McFarland. Also making your way on Lurline Wallace at McFarland. That intersection is pretty much the norm. You've got typical travels, which are wide open on 2059. Looks good from 359 to Joe Malisham. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, Tammy Thomas.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside
treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
It's time to win some cash on Tide 100.9 and 1230 WTBC. W265CG Tuscaloosa. Here's this hour's cash code.
The code is 729. The code again is 729. That's 729.
Enter that code on the Tide 100.9 app for your chance to win $1,000. Two special winners will win $10,000. From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Seattle Mariners took Game 1 of the American League Championship Series at Toronto 3-1. Cal Raleigh hit the tying solo homer in the top of the sixth. Game 2 in Toronto is Monday. The NLCS starts Monday night with the Dodgers at the Brewers. NASCAR win at Vegas for Denny Hamlin. The lone NHL game went to Washington 1-0 at the Rangers. The Sunday night NFL contest at Kansas City was won by the Chiefs over Detroit 30-17. Patrick Mahomes with four total touchdowns. Tampa Bay now 5-1 after beating San Francisco 30-19. Niners star linebacker Fred Warner is out for the year with a dislocated and broken ankle. Green Bay got two touchdown runs from Josh Jacobs and beat Cincinnati 27-18. Las Vegas ended a four-game losing streak.
Generators. True South Generators. Online at TrueSouthGenerators.com. That's TrueSouthGenerators.com.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron. From inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Welcome back to the second hour of Inside the Locker Room. I want to thank Tuscaloosa Toyota. We're a great time to buy some tires. Buy three tires, get that fourth tire for a dollar. You can do that all month out at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You know the website, TuscaloosaToyota.com. They've made this website real easy. You can look at all the new inventory, pre-owned, schedule service, rent a Toyota, order parts. You want to start your trade-in. Whatever you need to do, you can really start it right there at the website. If you want to go see Justin, go to 3325 Skyland Boulevard East over in Tuscaloosa and tell them that Wimp and Barry sent you. All right, I'll throw that question to you, Dad, that I asked Max. How do you keep getting these players up, even your coaches, to get up? I mean, they're just – you go from, the game – here, then you go to Missouri, now you got Tennessee, then you got South Carolina on the road, then you got Oklahoma. These are all teams that can beat you, and just trying to keep your team emotionally ready and peaking on Saturday and not being too tired, but your coaches got to work. How do you keep getting everybody up as the leader of a program with so many difficult games coming at you?
Well, from a coaching standpoint, you got to be tough to start with. They've got to be to some degree. I don't know if the word is afraid of you. Probably not the right word, but concerned about your thinking as the head coach, about you as an assistant coach. That you've got to do your job to get those guys as much as ready as you possibly can. Now the players got to play the game. I got that, but the assistant coaches have got to work their fannies off psychologically and physically too to get their guys ready to play, whether it be one, maybe take the twos and move them to the ones or I'll put some question marks there. But the coaches, Coach Bryant, Coach Saban, both had the personalities of such that we better get better. We better keep going. We better get better. We better do this. We better do that because I don't want that door to open. And fuss at me, all right, great, came with me or lose my job or something. I think the personality, I don't know that you probably agree to that, but a little bit what I try to do is make darn sure that my guys, played hard. Now, and basketball is a little different because the head coach has a lot to do with how they play to start with. But
as you go through the week with the preparation, some guys need work, some guys need rest. to be quite honest with you. So you can't treat them all the same. Like Ty Simpson needs some rest. Jam Miller, those guys, they need some rest. Those guys that didn't play, they need some work. And you got to make the guys that need the work understand why this guy's resting, because we got to get him ready. It's your opportunity to make some gains with your work.
Not my job to make me that. I ain't going to beg them to understand. The one thing that you also do is you rely very heavily on your conditioning people, on your trainers, on your people who see them in the dressing room. Guys that you hired because you really have a lot of faith in. Not bull crappers, not rah, rah, rah guys, but guys can tell you whether the guy, how the guy is physically. Your assistant coaches can tell you as well, but you got to know a little bit about your training staff to know exactly. That's what you present to your group. If you're the offensive line coach and defense, Alabama's got to get better up front, and up front defensively and up front offensively. They do, and they'll have a hard time defending the pass or somewhat defending the pass against Tennessee. But you got to get better up front, and I think the talk that your assistant coaches give each position team about, we're going to play you, say the things that you have just said to your team as you try to go through the season. We're going to play the guys who are ready to play, and we're going to work the guys who we feel like need to work. And that's the way this thing. I'm going to explain to these kids pretty much what we're trying to do, and so they'll have an explanation. We're going to work the people we feel like need to continue to do work, and we're going to rest the people that need to be rested. And I think you say that in the first or second meet, probably the first meeting you have with your kids, because football is so much different than basketball. You've got position coaches, and position coaches are humongous in this. You have the offensive and defensive coordinators talked about. The rest of them you don't hear about. Offensive line coach, you don't hear much about the defensive coordinator, you do. But a lot of the people who do, where you just don't hear nothing said about them. Boy, they are big.
Yeah, so Tennessee coming in, 6:30 ABC. Alabama currently a 9.5-point favorite. Tennessee can score, and they can score fast. Defensively, they're not great. They're giving up almost 30 points a game. Arkansas kind of went up and down the field on them there. Just your thoughts about Alabama.
I
got
to get your lines to start with. I got it this morning at 8, so I'm stupid. I can't find the lines. You find it.
Go to ESPN.com, go to NFL, college football. I just pull up it. Then I go to SEC. All right, real quick, the lines just for the week, just for entertainment purposes only. Chase, if you want to get them early. Vanderbilt, 2.5-point favorite home against LSU. Oklahoma is a 4.5-point favorite on the road at South Carolina. Texas A&M, 7.5-point favorite at Arkansas. Ole Miss, Georgia's a 6.5-point favorite at home there against Ole Miss. Mississippi State goes to Florida. Florida, 9.5-point favorite. Texas is on the road at Kentucky, 11.5-point favorite at Kentucky. In Missouri at Auburn. Auburn is currently a 2.5-point favorite. But that Auburn crowd showed up the other night. Will they show up again, Dad, for this Missouri game? Will that place be as crowded? It was packed. And then they retired Cam Newton's jersey. Everything was set up for Auburn to win. They had a great home field advantage. They're getting ready to go up 17-0. And from then on, it went bad. So we'll see if the Auburn fans show up again. They're emotionally drained, to be quite honest with you. All right, we'll take the break here. We'll get to Doug Bell when we get back. We'll look at Doug's picks, see how Doug did this week. And we'll also find out what's going on on the PGA Tour. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We're moving right about, but we are starting to get a little more volume in the area. McFarland, specifically between Skyland and 15th Street. You're a little patchy, but it's moving. Also 15th Street, you'll find yourself on and off those brakes from McFarland to Lurline Wallet.
At 5 private barrels. Then enjoy your victory cigar from R&R Cigars after Bama beats the Vols. R&R Cigars, 2703 Gary Fitz Street, Tuscaloosa.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports and it's brought to you by Guthrie's, America's original chicken finger restaurant and a proud partner of the Alabama Crimson Tide. For more information, visit GuthriesChicken.com. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. Here are some post-game thoughts from Alabama football head coach Kalen DeBoer after Alabama picks up a win 27-24 at Missouri on Saturday.
Great road win for us. Gets a really good football team. A lot of respect for Coach Drinkwitz and what these guys are doing here at Missouri. But, you know, we did the job. We got the job done. Proud of just the fight. You know, that we give up a touchdown early. We answer the call. And then just, you know, each side of the ball covering for each other. You know, we fumble early in the or right away in the second half. And, you know, short field. I know they scored a touchdown there, but defense came back out their next couple drives and you know, just continue to play ball. And even though we made some plays in critical moments at the end, we also could have done a better job, I think, of really putting the game away at other times throughout the game.
I'll have more in a moment.
This year, we honor the most important anniversary ever, an event that reshaped civilization as we know it, a day that would lead to something so flawless that nothing could ever really compare. People have tried to match it, but have failed. This year, we celebrate the 60th anniversary of Guthrie's, the home of the original chicken finger.
Just talking about it gets me all choked up.
And hungry for a chicken finger. Guthrie's, an original obsession for 60 years.
Join us tonight for Crimson Tide Rewind, live from Baumhauer's Victory Grill in Vestavia Hills at 6 p.m. Central. You can listen on the radio network, the Varsity Network app, as well as catch a video replay on the CTSN YouTube page. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Guthrie's. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Dry weather continues through the week. The sky's sunny today, the high 82. Clear tonight with the low at 57. For tomorrow and Wednesday, a good supply of sunshine both days with warm afternoons. Highs between 82 and 85. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 55 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Back to Inside the Locker Room. All right, get right to the Yellowwood Hotline. He's a PGA Tour Radio, PGA Tour Live, CBS Sports Headquarters. Also has his own podcast there, the old Gab Box, Doug Bell. Good morning, Doug. How are you, sir?
Hey, Barry. Hey, Coach. Great to hear from you guys. Everybody's happy in Tuscaloosa, right?
Yeah. Well, I guess. I was telling, and we're getting Dad back on.
I'm sorry.
There we go.
Hey, Coach.
These games are so emotional. To try to get your team back up every week, and as a coach, get ready the next week. Boy, when they go to 9 games, it's really going to be hard. But it seems like this year more than ever, all the teams are pretty good. Everything is so emotional. Doug, do you see the same thing?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Times have changed. We know parity has set in, and a lot of people are talking about that, but it's obvious. And I think the powers that be in college football want the NFL model where you have more teams in play and there's less doormats, if you will. And Barry, you're right. Every game, especially in the Southeastern Conference, is is meaningful because even the teams that are considered the lower tier teams are now ultra competitive. And let me tell you this, guys. This past weekend, I was up visiting family and friends. Went to the Clemson at Boston College game. Nice stadium, Boston College, about 50,000. It was about 80% full. BC's having a bad season. The Dylan Lonergan kid who played at Alabama as the quarterback for BC. But anyway, anybody who will tell you that argues that the ACC is on the same playing field as the SEC in any way, shape, or form, and I'm saying there's a lot of good players. Clemson's got a lot of good players that will start in the SEC, started Alabama, wherever. But just when you compare the SEC programs to the ACC programs, they simply don't compare in any way, shape, or form. And it's kind of full circle. You're right. All the SEC games are terribly exciting. The ACC, though, is a conference. It was a miserable game. Clemson dominated just an injury-plagued, struggling BC program. And you don't have games like that anymore in the Southeastern Conference.
No, you really don't. I know you want to talk a little golf, so I'll kick it back to you for that.
There's a lot to talk about golf, guys.
I really don't. I'm sorry I had to get off for a minute. Go over the golf schedule for us, if you will.
I wanted to mention you guys, Xander Schauffele won in Japan. That was the PGA Tour event, which gets totally covered up because of time change and because of college football, right? And that's big for Xander. His first win in 15 months. His maternal grandparents are from Japan. So when he wins, that's twice he's won in Japan. So that's a big deal for him. Big deal when a guy of his caliber gets back in the winner's circle. But last Friday, guys, the big news was Tiger Woods underwent another surgical procedure. You know, he had a collapsed vertebrae in his back. Remember, he had his spinal column, I guess, 4 years ago now, fused. And obviously, they told him at the time, you're going to have problems down the road. And so that vertebrae collapsed. So they literally had to go in and put in what has been described as almost a hardcore plastic vertebrae just to keep everything kind of from not being compressed. So this is serious business. And many think that maybe this will spell the end for Tiger's playing career. He may not be able to come back and play at all. So we'll see. And with that, see that he was going to turn 50 next year, guys. And the Champions Tour was hoping that he would play a handful of events, ride in a cart. And the big news yesterday, Brian Rolapp, the new commissioner, he's come in and he's slashing things at the PGA Tour. That's what happens. New kid comes in. The bean counters come in. And they have cut $2 million from the Champions Tour's retirement fund, the pension fund, which has really upset a lot of the players who have dedicated their lives to the PGA Tour and now the Champions Tour. And it's not so much the money, which it is, but it's just the fact that they slashed $2 million off of it. And so now the Champions Tour is kind of up in arms trying to figure out what to do because they think this could be maybe the death knell, the Champions Tour down the road. And I say that because Birmingham's had an event now for 33 years. And so we'll see what happens. But with the Tiger injury, him potentially and probably not playing on the Champions Tour down the road, I think the future of the PGA Tour champions is somewhat murky as we move forward. So we'll see what happens. And, you know, what's interesting about that, the powers that be, I mean, you know, you have some big names still on PGA Tour champions. They are trying to go independent. They are talking to, you know, potential financial partners. And while they would still be affiliated with the PGA Tour, they would be their own entity. And I don't know if that's a good plan or not. I'm reading about it, talking to people, guys. But I just thought where we live and the fact, and Coach, I know you've played in that pro-am for many, many years. It's been a big deal out of Greystone and Shoal Creek and Ross Bridge. So we'll see what the future holds. I'm not saying it's going to end next year, but in the next 2 or 3 years, with changes happening in professional golf, the over 50 tour could be facing some pretty serious changes.
They'll have a really hard time. Their people will being able to come up on their own and get a tour that's feasible money wise to cut that money off like that, because they will have you have a few named players on there, and you have to understand that time, when time goes by, you forget people. You just do. you don't think as much about them. And so you don't go out to see them play because you don't really know who they are. And I think when you try to do it on your own, you cut off a hunk of problems. I think. I don't know.
No doubt.
I'm not even close to what you know, but I just think that's hard.
Well, the new commissioner, I mean, the focus is on the stars. We saw that the last couple of years, and now you have the strategic sports group that comes in and gives the tour $2 billion, potentially another $3 billion over the next 5 years. And they want investment. They want return on their investment. And so the new commissioner comes in and starts cutting, which is done in every business in the world when new ownership comes in. And one of the things on the table is the Champions Tour, because it's being financed totally by the PGA Tour. So we'll see what happens. And I hate to come on and sound doom and gloom, and it very well might go on forever. But I'm just saying that's in the news, the fact
that
they
cut back. Is he the new director of the PGA Tour?
Yeah, he's the new commissioner, Coach Brian Rolapp. You know, he is not a golfer. He was with the National Football League and considered the number two guy. If the NFL ever makes a change at the top, with Roger Goodell, if he retires or whatever, this guy was considered and still is the guy that would become the new commissioner.
So
but in the meantime,
the head guy with the PGA is gone.
Yeah. He leaves at the end of the year, and this guy now is fully in control. And so changes are in the offing, it'll be exciting.
Well, anytime that you're the head guy, you're going to get complained at. And I think the person that left was complained some, but you're going to find that he was a lot smarter than people think when you get a group like this coming in there that's running. This is not the NFL, and this is not the same format as the NFL, and it's
right.
It's like I don't know. I don't like it. Of course,
We'll see where it goes. I think, and there's still the live thing out there. So there's a lot of things to talk about in golf. Unfortunately, it's business, and it's what's happening in the conference rooms, which isn't exciting for the golf fan. But it affects the golf fan, and it affects where golf is going, where the television rights are going. Xander Schauffele wins in Japan this week. Big win. Big crowds over in Japan, but nobody in the United States even knew it was happening because of college and pro football and the fact you had the time change. So there's a lot to be worked out, and we'll see what happens in the future with not only the PGA Tour, but PGA Tour champions.
Well, I should say this, but I didn't get to play in the tour here in Birmingham because what's his name that runs the tour here? Can you imagine this? It came to me and said I was too old. And you know what I told him? I didn't putt for 60. I knew how to play. I pick up my ball and go in there. We were playing. It was a scramble, all it was.
So right.
He. I don't care if he ever loses. I don't care what happens there. Go ahead.
Lastly about golf, then we'll flip to football. Is there anything they can do, or maybe I guess we don't know yet, but it seems like Tiger needs the proper send-off. I mean, he did so much for the game to where he properly can be honored. What could be done about that if he's not going to play anymore? I mean, do it at the Masters, do it somewhere where this guy can get what he deserves.
I couldn't agree more. Unfortunately, injuries are taking its toll. I think about the great Jack Nicklaus, and when remember when he quit the Open Championship at St. Andrews, and what does he do? His last putt on Friday, rolls it in for a birdie. And they gave him the standing O, and that was a send-off at the Open. And Jack had a great send-off at the other majors. And then retired very eloquently at the Masters, after winning 1986. He played a few more years, but then just announced that it was it. I'm no longer competitive. I'm happy with what I've accomplished. So, yeah, I mean, Barry, unfortunately, I just don't think the send-offs that we had for Jack and Arnie – were so perfect in so many ways. I remember when Arnie quit playing the U.S. Open and he broke down and was tearful at Oakmont. And what it was such a poignant interview. It was like, wow, that was – and then, of course, Arnie went on to play Champions Tour, et cetera. But unfortunately, I think with injuries, Barry, I don't think we're going to have that that send-off for Tiger. And you're right. It's a shame because he, more so than all those other great players, he changed the game in ways that'll never, ever be it'll never happen again. He was the one guy in the history of professional golf that changed it and changed it in ways that'll never it'll never be like that again. And he was just a special guy.
Yeah, I think the one thing that might be a little bit different is that I have a feeling that Tiger doesn't want that right now.
You're probably right.
He would still like to kick the bucket a little bit and try a little bit more.
You're probably right. But yeah. I just think, Coach, I think the injuries, this last one is so, everything I read, it is very delicate. And we're talking about a guy who wants to, the rest of his life, be able to walk and play recreationally golf and just have fun, right? So he has to be very careful with this last surgery. I mean, what they did was, they said very intricate. His spinal column collapsed. So he had to go in for some pretty delicate surgery. So, but the good news is that he has access to the best surgeons in the world. So, I think he'll probably come out okay. I'm just not sure he's ever going to play competitively again.
All right.
Do you ever come to Tuscaloosa? Excuse me, Barry. Do you ever come to Tuscaloosa?
Do I have a what in Tuscaloosa?
Do you ever come to Tuscaloosa?
Oh yeah, occasionally I do, Coach. Sure, absolutely.
Would you call me?
Yeah, I will.
I'm living in Tuscaloosa now. Would you call me, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no problem.
All right, let's flip to football. UAB job's open. Is that job better than Jacksonville State, or is Jacksonville State better than that? Like, what kind of guy can UAB hire realistically?
Boy, what a great question. I had a pretty good coach, Bill Clark. Did a really good job. Unfortunately, speaking of bad backs, like Tiger, Bill Clark had one of these debilitating back deals and was forced to retire. I think he's doing better now physically, but I don't think he wants to get back into coaching. And at the same time, you know, you're always fighting the Board of Trustees at UAB. It's finances. There's a lot of factors that make that a very difficult job. And when Bill Clark was winning, they were in Conference USA, they were more competitive in that league. Now, as you step up in the American Athletic Conference, they're going against some teams that are just better than they are. And it's hard to win. And Trent Dilfer was, that was a long shot pick. He was a high school coach in Nashville at a small private school, even though he'd been a Super Bowl winning quarterback. And I think he was, I think he was a fish out of water
I think the answer to Barry's question is that Jacksonville's a better job.
Yeah. You got campus living. Yeah. It's more of a college feel. It's just a commuter school. It's, you're just kind of walking around downtown. It doesn't have the college feel to it. It
doesn't. No, it doesn't.
It's like Little Rock.
They have a great stadium, though. They have a great stadium. Yeah. Brand new. The practice facilities are nice, really nice. They're certainly not up to par with a Southeastern Conference practice facility, et cetera, but they're good. They're really good. So there are some positives, but you have to get the right person in there who is very creative, and there's not a lot of NIL money that is coming into UAB. And I think what we're seeing on the horizon with the Big Ten and the Southeastern Conference, they're going to sign these investment deals in the next 2 to 3 years where there's going to be an influx of, several $1 billion into those respective leagues. And so the programs like UAB are going to continue to just fall lower and lower on the totem pole. So again, we're talking about the future of the Champions Tour, right? I just don't think the future of UAB football on that level is looking very bright, guys. And I hate to be, negative Nelly.
I wonder if a guy like Scott Cochran would be a good fit for UAB.
I think he would be fantastic. He would be a shot in the arm.
He can bring back all those former Bama players with him that are assistants. Yeah. They could probably get players in the state.
Yeah, I think Barry, I think that's a good decision. Yeah, and I think he's doing a great job at West Alabama and has gotten a lot of positive publicity with the story of his comeback. ESPN's run it several times on game day, et cetera. And I think he's a guy, yeah. I mean, I think he would be an adrenaline shot for UAB program that desperately needs it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And nothing against Coach Dilfer. Listen, he tried, but the last 3 years with him at the helm, the interest in the program has just, it's gone south.
Yeah.
It has absolutely gone south. And you know,
one of the things you can't do there, and I was with him twice, you can't at UAB go speak to the Garden Club. The Garden Club's not going to give you any money. You can't go to the Garden Clubs. You got to find the people who's got the money, and I know getting beat makes it hard to get the money, but the Garden Club ain't gonna work. And I think he thought he'd be a favorite, but you got to win to be a favorite, and it didn't work.
Yeah. All right.
Well, it's a very difficult job. Yeah.
Yeah, it is difficult.
Go ahead.
All right, Chase, get ready. All right, let's get to Doug's picks. All right, Georgia. He said Georgia was -3.5 when we did it. You weren't feeling good at 10-0 when that guy went over the top and it was going to go 17-0. You didn't feel good, but somehow, some way, Doug said take the Bulldogs -3.5. So give Doug a victory on that one. All right,
you know, Barry.
Yes, sir.
Barry, I was clapping at the end of that game.
Yeah,
and
are you calling timeout? What were you doing, clapping?
Brandy kept saying, "Why are you calling timeout?" I said, "No, I'm clapping. I'm clapping. I'm
there
clapping."
There you go. All right, you Dad copied off your paper. Tennessee -12.5 against Arkansas. You weren't believing in the new coach. You said he's been the offensive coordinator. So what's going to change? Well, I don't know, but they did score 31. And Tennessee got 34, and the line was 12.5, so that would be a loss. So go ahead and give him.
I'm along with you. I'm here.
Yeah. All right, and then Clemson, you were going to be there, and you talked about Boston College was beat up and how bad they were, and you said take Clemson. I think that was an easy pick. 41.
That was my pick of the week.
41-10. Yeah. You said take Clemson -14.5, and another W for Doug. So Doug goes.
Yeah.
2-1, Doug. Don't tell Dad, but you're 12-12, and he's 4-5. You got your 500 now, so you're beating him.
Yeah.
You're beating him.
Don't tell anybody, Doug. But I may call and get your kick so I can start doing the same thing. I'm down. I'm telling you something. I'm lower than a mole.
You got to go the other way and take somebody plus the points. You always go for the underdog. I mean the minus.
Well, I didn't. The Tennessee wasn't the underdog, son.
No, I'm saying you don't ever take the points. Arkansas plus
the points. I need to call somebody because I'm dumb on a red rock.
Yeah. So anyway, with that all being said, great week in the SEC this week.
It is a great week.
I don't know if that's where you're going, but what's the three? You're 12-12 now, so. All you've lost is the juice. I think you're in the money after this week, Doug. What we got?
All SEC games this week, guys.
Oh, good.
Georgia at home against Ole Miss. Ole Miss, I know, is getting 7. That's what I got, Barry.
Actually, I'm going to do you one better. Well, I don't know which way you're going. I think
Barry's going to mess it up for you. If he pops.
No, I don't know which way he's going. Georgia right now. Is 7.5. It went up a point. It was 6.5 earlier. 7.5.
It doesn't matter. Georgia at home has been, they've been banking on this game for a long time after last year. That's all I got to say. You can look at the stats. I'm just telling you, Kirby and company are going to steamroll Ole Miss. And that was problematic last week. Ole Miss against Washington State didn't look great. But Georgia will cover against Ole Miss. I feel very secure in saying that.
Okay, so there you go. Take the Bulldogs -7.5. It was 6.5 this morning. If I'd have called you at 7:30, you could have gotten a point off of that. But anyway, what else we got?
LSU at Vandy.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got there, 1.5?
It was 2.5 earlier. It is 2.5 Vandy. It's favored.
All right. Vanderbilt at home. Listen, this is – LSU doesn't know what they're getting involved with. They're running into a buzzsaw in Nashville. Vanderbilt is a better football team than LSU. Simply put, Vanderbilt covers and beats LSU in Nashville.
Yep.
What's the line on that, Barry?
2.5. Vandy's favored by 2.5.
Over LSU at LSU?
No, it's at Vandy.
Oh.
All right. Got it. Next, last pick.
Lastly, I love it. Tennessee at Alabama, third Saturday in October. How about this, guys? Tennessee leads the Southeastern Conference in total offense. They're running for like 250 yards a game. Impressive. Haven't played a super tough schedule. Defensively, though, guys, worst pass defense in the conference, 100th in the country, Tennessee. Oh, come on now. Alabama covers against Tennessee. Toughest game of the season for Tennessee and Alabama. I know they had some injuries. Some key guys are out, but I just like Alabama playing at home, night game against Tennessee.
You didn't even ask me the line.
I got 8.5.
I mean, where are you looking? It's 9.5 on.
Don't see, Doug, he's going to know any way you turn.
I know.
I look on the same. I look on ESPN.
No, he doesn't.
Yes,
he
I do.
He goes different way.
I'll take a picture of it and send it to y'all if you'd like for me to do that. So
8.5, 9.5.
It don't matter. It's 1 point, right,
Doug? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alabama wins by double digits in this game comfortably.
So you're not even worried about it. Jim Miller going to play?
I don't think so. That was a pretty serious hit he took. I don't know, other than the fact that it takes a while to recover from hits like that. I'll be very surprised if the young man plays. That was a shot he took at the end of the game.
Yeah, I may have to give him the answer to the concussion test. Give him the answers.
Well, like Brian Daboll, the Giants, get him out. Get him out of that tent. We need him. So. With Jackson Dart, you know?
Yeah. All right. Sounds good. I think you may get over 500 this week. I can't even believe we're talking about you in 500. So that's new. So.
Times have changed, guys. Times have changed.
There you go.
All good. All good.
All right. Tell them about Casa de Campo before you go.
Yeah. Thanks, Barry and Coach. I appreciate it. Casa de Campo. Go to CasaDeCampo.com. It's in the Dominican Republic. They're about to cut the ribbon on Teeth of the Dog. The redo. Jerry Pate is redone. Pete Dye's great course. I'm telling you, it is the best vacation I've ever had. Family vacay, golf vacay. CasaDeCampo.com.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, fellas. Talk to you next week.
All right, Dave. Let's talk about Bryant Bank before we get to break.
Bryant Bank's the outstanding bank, as all of you probably know from what I've said throughout the years. Go there and you get the personal business account. You'll know the banker. If you don't know him, he'll introduce himself to you and you'll like him. They'll do a good job handling your money. They'll be a good job being sure that your money is safe. You can bank online around the clock. Bryant Bank has a location anywhere, four locations in Tuscaloosa and a lot of good locations up throughout the state of Alabama. Go by Bryant Bank and tell them you heard Barry and I talk about Bryant Bank. We had Bryant Bank people on our show, and I think that you'll find a bank that you better be darn careful about banks, and Bryant Bank would be a good one to go with. So goodbye.
All right, we got the vinegar tip up next. We got phone calls coming in. So you guys stay in here with us for the next, about 20 minutes. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. It's been easy street thus far, and well, it looks like it's just continuing here. We're looking good on 2059, moving from McFarland to Joe Malisham, and moving on 15th Street, or actually Skyland Boulevard, from McFarland to 69. You're all good.
Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. BABBEL.com.
A national championship team covering a national championship team. The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Oh, we need the vinegar. We're getting the proper music for this vinegar tip. Do you want me to sing it? I feel good. right. As he's pulling that up, we'll let him pull it up. This vinegar tip's going to be brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. Michael's our insurance agent. Let him become yours. 205-752-8500. Chase, you got the music. All right, kick it in. 2, 3, go. Here we go. All right, there we go. All right, so what do we got for the vinegar tip for this Monday?
It's not going to be rectal today.
Oh, gosh.
It's not going to be today, I say.
Well, don't even say that. All right, go ahead.
Okay, pardon me. Every time I look around with a lot of my buddies, they have hearing aids in their ears. I don't.
Huh?
I hear too much as it is. But what happens with hearing aids is it traps the moisture in your ear canal, and it increases the risk of developing infection. And so to dry it out, for drying it out, then you got to use some antiseptic stuff, or use vinegar. Is recommended for regular ear infections. Rub your ears good with vinegar and remove your hearing aid whenever possible to give your inner ear an opportunity to dry out. But before that, take a little bit of the vinegar, put it in your ear and rub it around in your ear to be sure that bacteria is out of there, and you will hear a lot better with your hearing aid. A lot of you guys have your hearing aid, you never take the cotton picking things out. But, you know, sometimes you don't need to hear your wife fuss all the time at you. Your girlfriend, whoever, I mean, well, if you're that old, you ain't got no girlfriend. But a wife, if you don't want to take it out, and you don't have to listen to her, and you can tell her that you're letting your ear dry. And that way, you don't have to listen to all that fussing that she gives. So my recommendation, I wish I could do it now. I don't have one anymore, but it's important to be sure that that's dried out. So that's your vinegar tip for the day.
Huh? Oh, I'm not going to get my hearing aids clean. I didn't hear you. All right, that's brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance, 205-752-8500. All right, we got a lot of phone calls here holding, so we're going to get to them. We got four calls. We got Tom, then we're going to Tony, then we got Cowboy, then Bryce. All right, get to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Tom.
Barry, good morning. Good morning, Coach. How are y'all?
All right, how are you,
okay,
buddy?
I'm good. I'm glad y'all are back and all that good stuff. So hope your weekend was good.
Everything good. What you got this morning?
Well, you were talking about how the coaches, with the strength of schedule that teams are playing now, going to a 9 game, which would lead you to believe that the strength of schedule will increase, the competition will go up. How will a coach keep his team motivated was your question. Am I correct?
Yes, just keep them up. You know, just it's so draining. Do you think the Auburn team's drained right now? The fans are drained. Everybody's drained, but they got to get ready because Missouri's coming.
Right, and so there were two methods that I observed. One was Coach Stallings. I always thought he had a good method. His players, when you talk to them, said Coach Stallings would make this little talk on Monday, and they pointed out a game that. Everybody thought that he was not going to win. They were predicting his demise as a coach and all that kind of good stuff. But the player said he didn't pay that any attention, and they were rolling into Tennessee games, and said he had this little talk he would make on Mondays to them, and said it went like this. He would come out there and he would say, okay, we got Tennessee this week, and this is how we're going to beat them. And so they'd get fired up, and they would work hard and work on the plan and be ready to play on Saturday. Now, that was one method. And the second one I thought was brilliant by Coach Saban. Everybody thinks that because we won so much, the 24-hour rule was to make you quit celebrating and get ready. But it was there for the weakest link in the chain, and that was If you got beat, you wouldn't be walking around moping, and you'd start getting ready after 24 hours for the game coming up. So that's two methods that I can think of right off the bat. And I know others want to talk, and I thought I'd throw that out there.
Sounds good. I don't disagree, but you got to do something just to make sure they're up. I think it's some games. You don't have to say anything, but these teams are so good they can all beat you, and these games are draining.
Well, you're talking about Coach Stallings in Tennessee not having to make a speech, but he was on a losing streak.
No, yeah, yeah.
He was on a losing streak, and they were all out there looking at each other, what the hell are we going to do? And he comes in there and says, hey, we're playing Tennessee, this is how we're going to beat them.
There you go. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
All right, let's get to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Tony?
Morning, gentlemen. Barry, you're talking about Cohen, the AD at Auburn.
It
might have been a bad look, and I don't disagree with you, but I'll ask you just to play devil's advocate. What would you do to save your job? And you thought that in your mind you're getting screwed over by the referee. And listen, I have to agree with the call. I think if they caught it on the field a fumble, it's a fumble. I do think it was too close to tell to go either way. But again, you have them first down and 10 from the 1-inch line, and you just it turns, it's the snowball effect. It just keeps going as it goes, it gets bigger as it goes downhill. As a coach, your team is going to take on your personality, especially sometimes during game, in game. But at halftime, when you saw him being interviewed by ESPN, he looked defeated. I know he was upset and he was pissed off and everything. But I guarantee when they got in that locker room, I don't think he talked about, hey, guys, this is what we're going to do in the second half to win this game. They probably got in there and said, well, hey, the refs are screwing us over. We got to play the refs too. And there is no excuse in only having 21 yards of offense in the second half. That's inexcusable. And do I think 17-0 changes Georgia's playbook a little bit? Maybe, because when we had them down last year at Tuscaloosa, they started going for it on every fourth down, but they also came back. But again, they got outscored 20-0 after that period. So even if you get the 17 points, there's no guarantee that you win the game. But there is, if you keep the team up and keep doing, you know, I don't understand. It is probably a bad look. But, Barry, like I was saying, the ref, there's no transparency with the refs.
Yeah, but you hire a coach to do a job. You let the coach work the referees. I didn't like it when he put out a statement on Thursday about what happened whatever game that was, the Oklahoma game. I mean, like, we got to turn the page. Thursday, we're putting out a statement about what happened last Saturday. And then,
yeah, I had no idea that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right.
And then he's
chasing. If he's
chasing,
dwell on it, it's going
to
dwell.
He's chasing the official. I just think that's the coach's job to work the official. I love John Cohen, don't get me wrong, and I'm not saying I wouldn't have done the same thing. I just thought it was a bad look. I think he'll get reprimanded from the SEC.
All right, let me ask you one other question, and I'll let y'all go. Why can we not have any transparency with the refs? The players have to get up and answer questions. The coaches have to answer questions. The ADs now, but the refs get a police escort to the airport after the game. Why can we not hear from the refs after game? Look, guys, the timeout call is by far the worst call of that game. The clapping versus time. I mean, there's got to be an answer for that.
Well, I think
the play was
made difficult to call, not the timeout, but because it was called a fumble on the field. And so I think they just looked at it and said, there's not enough there to turn it, you know, and they blew the whistle.
Agree.
They blew the whistle. So they had to bite the bullet on the touchdown there. So and they knew it was going to be a riot when they did that. That call goes against Auburn, what happened at Oklahoma. So, I just think they got to put a time limit on these reviews. I mean, it kills the momentum of games. That thing went on for 10 minutes. They looked at it.
36 minutes.
Yeah, for 2
that's
minutes.
Incredible.
For 2 minutes.
Yeah, for the 2-minute mark.
Yeah. So, thank you, Tony.
That's insane. All right, y'all are going.
All right, to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Cowboy?
Morning.
Not much. You know, and your dad would say this, and I think you would. Auburn cannot overcome adversity. When adversity hits them, they crumble like a cheap suit. cheap lawn furniture. They cannot overcome adversity. I'll give you an example of this. Saturday night, LSU throws a fumbles at the goal line. They give up a long run, but it's 7-3. They throw a pick in the end zone. They keep fighting back. They won the football game 20-10 when they tried to give it away, but they fought through over adversity at home, and Auburn was at home. They could have fought through that adversity, but they have a mentality that they can't come overcome adversity. And that's their problem right now. They're not.
Well, I think you're right. I think they had the mindset. Everybody's out to screw us. Everybody, you know, we're getting screwed. They don't. They. That's what they think all the time. And so yeah. About their football team, it's always poor me. It gets old after a while.
Yeah. I thought that was John Cohen I saw on the TV, but I wasn't for sure. I said, man, the AD going off like that. I guess his baseball manager inner person came back in him, you know. But, hey, you know, the Auburn fans, they forget how they forget things that's happened down there at Jordan-Hare. Maybe the ref calls are evening up for him now, which they used to be. But that head referee, Ken Williamson, in 2019 gave Gus Malzahn an extra second on the clock. And they got a field goal kick against Alabama down there. They beat us 48-45. So, you know, hey, it all evens out, you know. But overcome adversity.
Yeah, you're right. They
Alabama sure has. Alabama's overcome some adversity this year. So let's just leave it at that. Hey, who's Alabama's best running back on the goal line?
I don't know. What are you trying to say, Proctor?
Yeah.
Well, he put him in the Wildcat and let him get it. So,
There you go.
Thank you,
that's
Cowboy.
Your best running back on the good. All right, be good, guys.
Yes. All right. Sorry, Bryce. Get us back tomorrow. Get to Gary. I'm sorry. We're just out of time here. We had double these breaks up on the back end. So, we want to thank Yellowwood Pressure Treated Pine from Greenstead. Also, Brian Harden Construction. Poor Brian. He's representing this Blue Plate special, but he's going to turn. For Brian and his crew out there. So if you're looking, you need strength, precision, and reliability, trust the team that's been building Tuscaloosa Beyond for over 30 years. Brian Harden Construction is your partner in industrial fabrication, steel working, heavy equipment services, from custom welding and structural steel to 24/7 crane rentals. Family-owned, woman-led, safety-driven. That's Brian Harden Construction, 205-759-1337. Thank you, Chase. That's it. We'll see you back tomorrow at 7 a.m. Listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 a.m. WTBC is the home of Alabama sports.